Hey, this is Carrie Peters.
And Stacey Morgenstern.
And welcome to Better Than Ever, a Health Coach Institute podcast.
Where we're here to question how we do life because the normal rules no longer apply.
Hello, Better Than Ever podcasters. Hannah Duncan here with another podcast featuring some of our amazing students doing some incredible things. Before we get into what we are going to be chatting about this week, I want to remind you that HCI Live is just around the corner, and you can book your tickets as soon as right now. Go to hcilive.com and reserve your seat. Go ahead and grab that Spark Pass and check out all the exciting things we have in store for you this year, April 25th through 27th in Phoenix, Arizona. Now, we've been to this resort before, and I can tell you that it is amazing. So I hope to see you there poolside and in the event. I can't wait for HCI Live this year. We have so many exciting things planned. So go, go, go. Pause this podcast and go book your ticket. Did you do it? Okay, great. So today's episode, I am joined by Scott Leeper. Now, he's been on here before. He's a Become a Health Coach / Mastery graduate, and he recently paired up with two other classmates to write a book, Michael Arnold and Andrea Carr, and they had the help of the wonderful, fabulous, two-time finalist, Sarah Cannell. She is a writing coach as well as a Mastery graduate. So we are so excited to feature what these students are doing. We thought that we might as well just share it all in a podcast. So only Scott was able to meet with me at HCI Live a few months ago. And at the time he was talking about this book, at the time of this interview, the book was going into the completion stage, but I'm happy to say that it is available right now. You can go to Amazon.com. It is called Drowning in Addiction, Sink or Swim by Scott Leeper, Michael Arnold, and Andrea Carr. Go on over, check it out, purchase it. We say support our classmates. And then let's talk to Scott. So Scott, would you tell all of our podcast listeners a little bit about what you were doing before you became a coach?
So I was a personal trainer. I'll give you a long abbreviated version. So I was in the Marine Corps for 13 years. I left the Marine Corps and had to completely reinvent myself. And so I tried different jobs. And one of the things I knew I wanted to do, I knew I wanted to help people. So the first job I took was I was a staffing specialist. I worked as a headhunter. As the headhunter, I got people jobs. That, I sucked at. And I moved into, I worked for the Salvation Army. That was short-lived. I enjoyed working with guys in a rehab facility, but the rehab facility closed and I ended up doing just retail, so that went to the wayside. I left that job, chased money, went and worked for a garage door company, sucked at that job too, left that job, and that's when I became a personal trainer. After becoming a personal trainer is when I realized that people were not really making the right mindset shifts and to leading a healthy life, and that's when I moved into health coaching.
When you were looking for a health coaching school, why did you ultimately decide to enroll with Health Coach Institute?
Believe it or not, it was all by chance. I just happened to look up health coaching. One of the first ones I found was the Health Coach Institute. Didn't really look at any others. Called, talked to a Clarity coach, and within a matter of a few weeks, I was enrolled and loving it. So there was no real comparison with anybody else. That was just where my gut told me to go, and it's been perfect ever since. The big thing about this training is you're learning without feeling like you have, like you feel like you're cramming it, because there's an implementation piece. You know, you learn these things, and then you have your practice clients that you work with to start to practice your coaching skills that you just learned, and that in turn is the not necessarily practice makes perfect, but practice makes efficient. And so the training has made me efficient, and where I've felt like I'm decent at working with people already, the Health Coach Institute has actually helped me understand how to put some of these thought processes I have into words and into actual effective coaching practices with my clients.
You know, for you, you've talked a lot about your experience, like through your many careers, through your life's journey. Why is it important for you to share it?
Because I'm not the only one. I'm not alone in trying to find who I am, even in my 30s. I see people all the time. They're unhappy with where they're at. And for the longest time, there was a part of the Marine Corps journey that I enjoyed, but for a long time, I didn't like it at all. All these other jobs that I went through, absolutely hated, but I stuck it out. I tried to stick it out, and all it did was just make me just hate life and just hate where I was. And so by me sharing that piece and by sharing my journey, that helps other people understand, once again, that, you know, where they're at today doesn't have to be where they're at tomorrow. Tomorrow can look a lot better than what today looks like. And so by sharing that, that gives people something to think about in order to really think, okay, you know what, I can make my life better as well.
Ultimate sharing. And so that kind of does lead us to what are you working on? Who are you working on it with?
So myself, Michael Arnold, and Andrea Carr are working on a book on addiction. And so the name of the book is Drowning in Addiction, Sink or Swim. And we also are working with a writing coach who actually happens to be from HCI, Miss Sarah Cannell. And she's a phenomenal coach too. And so our whole purpose of this book is to raise awareness about just the overall picture of addiction. You know, for Michael and Andrea, they have their own very powerful stories of when they were in addiction and their recovery and them becoming coaches as well. Mine's a little bit different in the fact that I never had an addiction problem. There were probably times that I probably drank a little more than normal, but my story, my part of the book is my dad's story. And really, my dad is really the catalyst that really put me on the journey that I'm on now. Because in 2012, I had to take him off life support and I watched him die. And that was from a lifelong alcohol addiction. And even to the point where when I was 2 years old, my mom and him divorced because she found pills wrapped in a tinfoil wrapper in the laundry. And so, you know, he had struggled with substance abuse his entire life. And there's one story I remember about one of the conversations I had with him when he was drunk. You know, I asked him, I said, Dad, what the hell are you doing? He says, look at me. He says, I'm fat. I'm nasty. Nobody loves me. Nobody wants me. This is my life. This is my reality. This is my escape. And then it wasn't but a year later that I was watching him die because of me taking him off life support. And so this book is really to not only show the alcoholic or the addict story, but also the family member story. So we also talk about the cultural norms and stigmas around drinking or drugs in general. We talk about consequences. There's other people's stories in there, loved ones who have their loved ones have overdosed on heroin and left behind their 14-year-old daughter. The retired law enforcement officer, the retired police chief who went through 30 years of addiction, of alcohol addiction, because he remembers pulling body parts off of the train tracks, and he didn't know how to cope with that. You know, and then we go into Michael and Andrea's recovery stories. But the twist here too is in my chapter about what would look like my recovery chapter, I guess, is about my downward spiral after his death. Because the addict, when they overdose, their story's over, or that's what a lot of people think. But the family members are left to pick up the pieces. So when the family members don't know how to pick those pieces up, they go through their own downward spiral. And that's what I did. And that's what led me to infidelity issues. That's what led me to not really valuing being a dad when my son was first born. that's what led me to getting kicked out of the Marine Corps and losing everything I knew as an adult. But then also a part of that book is also the upbringing for me, kind of the reinvention of myself after my downward spiral, and even talking about my journey becoming a coach and even creating programs for family members and friends of addicts who, you know, coaching programs, because there's not a lot of resources for friends and families of addicts. So I can, in the book, I start to talk a little bit about creating those kind of programs.
Is that a goal of yours to have several of those created? And is that something that you have created?
I'm in a process of creating those. I'm kind of doing it congruently with the book. So as the book gets finished, then we start to create, kind of start to put some of the final touches in creation of the programs. And I don't quite know, like I don't have the title or anything like that for it yet, but it's going to be a very valuable piece because that's what I lived, but I didn't live it very well. And so if I can help somebody not make some of the same mistakes I did through the grievance process, mission accomplished.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal. Even one person is a big, big triumph. So you partnered with some of your classmates. Tell me about, you know, how you know these two other ladies.
So Michael Arnold, I first met her. I saw her on stage. She was in one of the hot seats with, I can't remember if it was Carrie or Stacy, but she was in one of the hot seats, and that was in April in Phoenix. And she got emotional when she was on stage, and she was explaining, like, talking about a particular person that makes excuses and that blames other people for their wrongs and that kind of thing. And then when there was Carrie or Stacy asked her, she was like, "Who are you describing?" And she started crying, and she said, "I'm describing me." And she said, "This was me." She says, I had an addiction problem, a lot of problems with alcohol and that kind of thing. And she says, you know, and somehow I'm in recovery. And for me, when I hear somebody talk about them going into recovery, knowing what my dad went through and knowing my dad didn't make it, I always want to make that person know that there's somebody very proud of them. And so as soon as she got off the stage, as soon as we had a break, I went up to her, gave her a big hug, and told her I was extremely proud of her. And then Andrea had heard about my story, about my dad's story, and she's also a sobriety coach. And she called me one day, she sent me a message one day and asked if I wanted to be on her podcast that goes into, you know, subjects of sobriety and recovery and that kind of thing. I said, absolutely, of course. And so we're usually, her podcasts are like 40, 45 minutes. We were on for like an hour and a half, you know? And so it worked out real well and great conversation. And so we hit it off really well. And so in July, right around the same time as the mastery retreat, I was sitting in my shared workspace and working on whatever it was I was working on. And then just a random thought hit me. And you know, I kind of thought, man, I was like, what if I write a book with these two? Because we all are connected, but different. And so I sent both of them a text. I said, "Hey, you guys want to write a book?" And both of them, I mean, the responses were almost immediately. And both of them were like, "Yes." And so we talked. I can't remember if it was that day or the day after, but within a matter of weeks, Michael had us connected with Sarah. And we started writing. And here we are. We are just finishing up with chapter 11. And there are 11 chapters. So our manuscript's almost done. Publication will start within the next week or two. And so we're looking at, our goal is to have a launch of end of January, beginning of February for this book to be launched. And our publishing company is going to launch it worldwide.
That's awesome. Yeah. Who would have thought? I mean, it was what, 6 months ago you were hanging out at HCLI for the first time, and then now you've met all of these people and you're writing a book with them.
Like, yeah.
It's amazing what can happen in a short amount of time, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I'm really excited for you, and why why do you think the world needs sobriety coaches?
Where there's a lot of resources, I think the one resource that might be missing is the one-on-one accountability. But when a person hires a coach in any facet, they're showing up for themselves in the most powerful way absolutely possible, because that is them starting to hold themselves accountable by investing in somebody that's going to hold them accountable, stretch them, support them. And when it comes to sobriety, when it comes to recovery, I mean, recovery for a lot of people is a lifelong journey. When you have an addiction, you can't just up and stop one day and say, I'm done. Now, are there some people that do that? I'm sure there are. But a large majority of the people that I've seen or have heard of or stories or whatever is, it's almost like when you're in recovery, it's almost like you're on this cliff looking over the edge wondering what it would be like. What it would be like just to take a dive. And so if you don't have anybody that's going to be right there with you to support you, that dive is going to look a little bit more enticing than if you have somebody stretching you the other way. What would it look like if you continued to show up for yourself every day and not show up for alcohol or drugs or pills or whatever every day? And then so when it comes to family coaching, you know, I think about the decisions I made and the things that I went through and the victim mentality I had and the hole that I was in, expecting people to get down in this pit of misery with me. And none of that served me. And so if I can be that catalyst to change, or if another coach that decides he or she wants to work with somebody, friends and family of addicts, can be that change to show that there's no shame in being the family member of an addict. You don't have to feel ashamed for your family member or your friend. You don't have to feel guilty because you didn't have all the answers. You don't have to feel guilty because you didn't see it in time. I went through a lot of guilt. I went through a lot of shame. Because had I seen it and had I done something sooner, I felt like I would have been able to make the change. But there's still pictures of Thanksgiving dinner where I'm sitting there eating Thanksgiving dinner with my dad, and we both have beers. And where I can control my drinking, he can't. But I didn't care at the time. And so that, going back to helping a family or friend understand that you can release whatever guilt that you have because you weren't the one that made those decisions. The family member made those decisions. The friend made those decisions, not you. So by helping them get through that, they're going to be able to effectively get through the grieving process and learn and grow. Because bottom line is, anybody that's ever died of any kind of addiction or been in any kind of addiction, they're not scum of the earth. They're not problem children. They're simply teachers. They teach us the ways in which not to live. And if people can start to understand that, the pain of losing a loved one from addiction will be a little less.
I'd like to know a little bit more about the process of working with two other people on a book. Because, I mean, that's a very personal thing when you're writing down a story about yourself. But what about working with other people? I mean, what were a couple things that you learned along the way that you would like to tell other students who are thinking of pairing up with other tribe members to do exactly what you're doing?
A couple things. One, through the whole process, lead from your heart. And understand everybody's story is different. And other people are going to have strong suits. Other people are going to have stronger suits than you in certain areas. That's okay. That actually creates a very good team. But then the other thing too, as you're working with them, everything stays on Front Street. and understand that if everybody is leading from the heart, there's no room for judgment. So if certain things are triggering you as you're, you know, maybe you do write a book about something that has happened to you, very tragic events that have happened to you, and maybe as you're writing this, certain things start to get triggered. But understand that your team, as long as they're leading from the heart, will not judge you, and they will be patient with you and give you your space and create that space that if you gotta be a mess for a minute because you're talking about some deep shit, be a mess. And they'll allow you to be that. And then you get back on track. But everything stays out in the open. You don't hide anything back, you don't hold anything back. And the right team, the right people around you, they will energize each other. And that's been one of the best things about these three women that I've been working with, Michael, Andrea, and Sarah, as they're extremely energizing. As they energize me, I energize them.
That's a good group of ladies to surround yourself with. You're like, yeah, I'll take that powerhouse and that powerhouse and that one.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. And that's good advice too, because I think I think a lot of people jump into partnerships and building their business with another person, and they try to keep it all business, but really, I mean, you can't do that. Like, you need to know if something's going on with your partner.
These three have become sisters to me, honestly. I've told them before that this isn't a team anymore, it's a family. And really, that's because you're talking about things that are so deep, that are so intertwined with your being and you know, your ugly past and all these things that a lot of people don't know about you. And one, it's difficult to bring some of that out just to other people around you, let alone put it in a book for the world to see. And so by creating that family unit, so to speak, that makes that easier, and it makes it easier to be able to put that out for the masses to see. Because there's been no judgment here in our inner circle, and it makes it a little bit easier. So, okay, you know what? Spread it.
Thank you, Scott, for sharing your story, and best of luck to you as well as your co-authors in this new endeavor. Guys, that is it for today. Go ahead and sign up for HCI Life. Come hang out with us, and then please check out their new book, Drowning in Addiction. You can get it on Amazon. Thanks a lot and have a great day.
Thanks for tuning in to Better Than Ever, a Health Coach Institute podcast. For more information on our programs, please go to www.healthcoachinstitute.com. Comment and share if you like what you hear.